Well, good morning. Some of you made it here in person, others of you are online. Maybe you're smarter if you're with us online this morning. That's okay. We're glad to all be together as one community that loves Jesus. So we're going to be continuing our series this morning on heart dangers. And one of the most powerful sermons that Jesus ever taught was called the Sermon on the Mount. And in it, he's explaining how living as kingdom people, as followers of Jesus, we're called to live a life that looks different. Not because we have a set of rules or standards that we have to live by, but because our hearts are shaped by the goodness of God. As we grow in our understanding of God's love and experience it, transformation takes place in us. Yet even as we can pursue the kingdom heart of goodness, there are some legalistic traps that we can get caught up in. These are heart dangers. These dangers often lead us astray from the kingdom heart of goodness because they so subtly draw us towards the approval of others, or a desire to build our own sense of security through what we do and what we have. And so today we're going to be picking up in Matthew 6, verse 19 through 20. And here is what we read. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal." This morning, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, treasure. I love talking about treasure hunting. I love going treasure hunting. It's probably one of the weirder things about me. Maybe it goes with the windstorm. I don't know. But just to prove it to you, my friend of 20 years texted me this week. She said, "Steph, this is you in retirement living your best life." She's on vacation. I'm like, if my best life in retirement is me at the beach metal detecting, let it be so, Lord. So my love for metal detecting actually started when I was younger, and I would take my dad's metal detector out into the backyard at my house, backyard because no one could see me, and to my amazement, it worked. I'll never forget the joy and the thrill and the excitement of actually finding something, treasure. I ended up finding tons and tons of change in the grass, and it made me want to keep looking, keep searching. I wanted to find more treasure, better treasure. But here's the thing. Jesus knows that we're wired this way. We all search for treasure, for something valuable, something that lasts. And in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns us not to store up temporary treasures for ourselves, and instead to know and invest in what truly matters, God's kingdom, which allows us to live with purpose by focusing on what truly lasts. Let me pray for us as we get started. Holy Spirit, would you come? And would you search our hearts, Lord? Would you know our hearts, Lord? Would you help us to see anywhere in our lives that is preventing us from moving towards you, from connecting with you? And would you break those things off this morning? Jesus, we're here together because we want you. It's your presence that we long for. You are the thing that is beautiful in our lives. And so would you be gracious and kind to us this morning, and would you give us your presence? Amen. All right. So do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Now, if you're anything like me, you might read scripture like this and see it very plainly and think, cool, I have got that box checked. I am aware that money isn't everything. I think that we've all seen Hollywood stars have all the money in the world, all the resources in the world, and they crash and burn. Or people will win the lottery and they have all this money that they could ever possibly use, and their lives fall apart, their lives crumble, their marriages fall apart. Most of us would agree that money doesn't equal happiness, right? Although most of us would be willing to give it a try, right? I'll give it a try. Why not find out for myself? We know that stuff is just temporary treasure. You can't take it with you when you die. But any time that we read scripture and simply gloss over it, it's really important to stop and think, why? What might I be missing? See, what Jesus is warning us about is the deception of earthly treasures. Deception is about misleading us. It's a half-truth. It causes us to believe that something is true even when it's not. It gives the appearance that things are good even when they aren't. One of the greatest tricks the enemy can play on us is to lead us to believe that we already have the problem taken care of, that we see it clearly for what it truly is, to keep us at the surface of our understanding when it comes to our earthly treasures. And in this case, the deception, it comes with the action of storing up. Storing up makes us believe that we need a little bit more, and a little bit more is always justified. So as you know, I love treasure. I love treasure hunting. So there's a show, I've talked about it before, called Oak Island. So Oak Island is a treasure hunting show, and on it, two brothers have been searching for this historic treasure that was buried by the Knights Templar on an island in Nova Scotia. This show is 12 seasons of people not finding treasure. There are even episodes where you can tell that they're replaying old footage just to fill the 30 minutes of an episode. And so 12 seasons of no treasure begs the question of how are they still going? So I got curious and I found out that every episode comes with a $100,000 paycheck for the cast members. And so what probably started out as this fun treasure hunting quest might now be nothing more than the deception of just another episode, just another season, a little bit more, an endless cycle that yields nothing. This is exactly how the deception of earthly treasures works. We tell ourselves that if we can just get a little more money, a little more security, a little more success, then we'd be satisfied. But the truth is, it never ends. It keeps us chasing something that will never truly fill us. And so where do we get caught in the trap of storing up? First is with material possessions. Money, a nice house or car, the newest iPhone. These aren't bad things, but when they become the focus of our hearts, they deceive us into thinking that we'll be content once we have them. It's a little bit like Y2K. Who's with me? Who remembers Y2K? Yes, okay, we got claps. Okay. Y2K, the year 2000, it was going to crash the world. And so people started filling their basements with canned goods, so that if the world ended, they would have food. But with Y2K, you never had enough. You always needed one or two more cans. I remember my mom coming home with groceries. She's like, can you run these to the basement? I'm like, don't we have enough? No, we have to save more, stock more. Because of the fear of the unknown, because more meant security, storing up just a little bit more. But in crisis, storing up can seem very justified. But how about in our routine lives, our regular day-to-day? We might be caught in the deception of storing up if we obsessively check our bank accounts or retirement accounts, work excessive hours to save more money at the cost of our family and our loved ones. Or maybe it's not even about money, maybe it's a little bit more about stuff. How many of us in this room even have had a hard time cleaning out a closet of old clothes because we think, I might just need that one day, right? Ecclesiastes 5:10 states, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. But this doesn't just happen with materialistic things. It can also be worldly status. We can get deceived into believing that we need to store up titles or accomplishments or experiences. These things bring us a false sense of purpose and fulfillment to our lives. And again, these aren't bad in and of themselves, but they can deceive us into believing that we're becoming something in this life, or that we've acquired a life worth living. This can show up in constantly planning the next trip, event, or adventure to finally bring us some joy. I'm guilty of that one. Posting everything we can on social media to build a certain image rather than being present in the moment. It could even be prioritizing your own personal comfort and enjoyment above anyone and everything else. This deception of earthly treasuring is the heart danger that caught Judas, the disciple that betrayed Jesus. See, I bet when Judas started following Jesus like all the other disciples, he was probably excited. He was hopeful. He probably even experienced some moments of his own transformation. However, it was the deception of money that led him to betray Jesus. John 12, 4 through 6 says, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. Judas probably wouldn't have labeled himself as a thief. His desire for money led him to operate in a little bit of greed, in a little bit of dishonesty, and he probably felt entitled to pay himself for all of his hard work. And each time left him feeling like he needed just a little bit more. See, the desire for treasuring is built into our human nature. It's unavoidable. Dallas Willard explains it like this. He says, everyone has treasures. This is an essential part of what it is to be human. To have nothing that one treasures is to be in a non-human condition. And nothing degrades people more than to scorn or destroy or deprive them of their treasures. Indeed, merely to pry into what one's treasures are is a severe intrusion. Apart from very special considerations, no one has the right to even know what our treasures are. A main part of intimacy between two persons is precisely mutual knowledge of their treasures. Treasures are directly connected to our spirit or will, and thus to our dignity as persons. And so if we cannot, as humans, help ourselves to have treasures, it's of the highest importance that we know what it is worth treasuring. Because as Dallas Willard points out, what we treasure is directly connected to our identity. This means we must know treasure of true value. So when Oak Islands was starting to lose viewers, they introduced a new cast member, Gary Drayton. You guys, Gary's so cool. He's seriously so cool. Hopefully I could be like Gary in my retirement. So Gary is a professional treasure hunter by metal detecting. And he brought new life to the show. Every episode, he'd be out on the island in his own area, treasure hunting in the way that he knew how, episode after episode. So Gary would be out there, and he'd get a hit on his metal detector, and they'd cue the suspenseful music, and he'd start digging up the treasure, and then he'd find it, and he'd be like, wow! And then they'd cut to a commercial to leave you hanging, and then they'd come back, and they'd replay that scene because they had to fill the 30 minutes, and Gary'd be like, wow! And then obviously I'm sitting on the edge of my seat because I want to know what the treasure is, and then Gary would call out and be like, it's a button! And you're like, a button? And then in his excitement, he'd go around and he's high-fiving everybody. He's like, I can't believe we found this button. It's amazing. And he'd go on to say that it's probably made out of pure silver. And they only did that in this certain time period. And then if you can look really closely, you can see this little symbol on there. And you're like squinting at the TV and they have to like kind of etch it out and outline it. And he'd be like, this symbol was only used at this certain time in this military branch. And he'd go on and on and on about how this treasure actually connects to this larger treasure hunting story that's being told. And you're like, wow, he found a button. That's so cool. Gary knew what real treasure was. Now, if we look at the way Jesus lived his life, we would see that he too, in his humanity, treasured things, but not earthly things. Jesus was homeless. He probably didn't own anything extra outside of what he could carry. He didn't work a job or even manage his own finances. And even at one point, he became so popular that it says in the Bible, the people planned to force him to become their king. And so when that happened, he went away and hid. Jesus' treasuring was different because, like Gary, he knew treasure of true value, treasures of heaven. And Jesus tells a couple stories in the book of Matthew that describe this treasuring that has deep value. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Here's what it says. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Then verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. So looking at verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. In order for us to know treasure of true value like Jesus, we must recognize the kingdom of God as life's greatest treasure. Now, it sounds absolutely crazy that someone would find a treasure and sell everything that they own to get it. But that's the worth, that's the value of this treasure that we're talking about. It's like finding a winning Powerball ticket in an abandoned house. The ticket's worth millions and millions of dollars. We would do anything to claim it. That's the value of the kingdom of God, where God gets his perfect way. In God's kingdom, there's perfect peace and eternal joy. In God's kingdom, reconciliation and restoration always advance. In God's kingdom, pain and death are no more. Our mistakes are erased and life is brought to its fullest. In God's kingdom, his love reigns, his will is done, and his presence brings complete transformation. What treasure in this world could be better than that? What treasure in this world has more value than that? That's the joy of our salvation, knowing that we have access to the greatest treasure. But what's hard for us in our treasuring is that it's going to cost us. In the parable, it cost everything. In Matthew 16:25, it says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. The cost of following Jesus is everything. Not in a legalistic way that says you can't have any possessions, but in a heart posture kind of way, where we humbly submit to whatever God's asking of us, because he's leading us to the treasure of highest value. But here's the amazing thing. While Jesus tells us that the kingdom is worth everything we have, he also shows us that the kingdom isn't just something that we find, it's something that finds us. See, knowing true value and heavenly treasure, like Jesus does, means understanding that God's kingdom pursues us. This is where the second parable comes in, the merchant and the pearl. It shifts the perspective from our pursuit of God and his kingdom to God's loving pursuit of us. In the first story, the treasure was hidden and someone stumbled upon it. But in the second, the merchant is actively searching for something valuable. And when he finds it, he gives up everything to have it. This is a picture of God's perfect love in pursuit of us. It's kingdom love. See, Jesus, the king of this kingdom, left everything to come after us. He stepped down from his throne, entered into our broken world, and gave up his life to reconnect us to God so we could be included in his family. 1 John 3 says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God." And that love, that kingdom love that's richly poured out for us, is for all people. The love of God is the measure in which we love ourselves and others. That's heavenly treasure. John 13 says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Here at the Duluth Vineyard, we have a vision for ourselves as a community of people. It's that we're a community of disciples of Jesus who love and experience God, who love one another, and partner with Christ to bring healing to our world. Love God, love people. Because that's the treasure of true value. And because Jesus understands the true value of the kingdom as something worth treasuring, he's able to respond in a way that allows him to store up his treasures in heaven. This understanding of the kingdom shapes how he lives and guides us in how we are to live as well. This is the power of kingdom investments. See, when we truly understand the value of God's kingdom, we're invited to invest in treasures that are secure and eternal. Real treasures that go beyond earthly wealth and possessions. Because investing in the kingdom of God is not just about the future reward, it's also about experiencing the benefits of those treasures in the immediate. As Jesus held the belief and understanding of the value of the kingdom of God as true treasure, it empowered him to respond differently to moments and people and circumstances, producing kingdom investments. That's because the treasure of the kingdom is here and now. All throughout Jesus' life, we see him motivated to move towards people with love, people who are hurting, people who are outcast. And he's constantly operating in such a way that brings the treasure of heaven into the immediate moment. Jesus, knowing that the resources of heaven are endless, multiplies food and feeds thousands of people. Jesus, knowing the kingdom is rooted in peace, calms the storm, saving lives. Jesus, taking time to care for and speak to the woman at the well, exposes the love that God has for all people, no matter what. And if we too have our hearts focused on heavenly treasure, it will allow us to live with incredible purpose, storing up our treasures in heaven. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to go through some practical ways that we can begin to invest in the treasures of heaven. And I want to invite you into a space of heartfelt reflection. So when I mention some of these, pay attention to what rises up in you first. If you notice annoyance, irritation, skepticism, phrases like, yeah, but those might be signs that you have earthly treasures in the way of seeing the kingdom's value. But if you notice a resounding, yeah, someone else should do it, you might have earthly treasures in the way of investing in the kingdom. So here are some examples. You guys, my bangs today, they're killing me. Sorry. Musical worship. The kingdom value in worship is that it's a declaration of God's supreme worth. It acknowledges God's glory, majesty, and love. When we worship, it aligns our hearts and minds to the greatness of God and helps others do the same. The kingdom investment in worship might be playing worship music in your car or in your home around your family and friends. It might be learning a new instrument, joining the worship team, or always sitting in the front row, leading others by example into a worshipful act of surrender to God. In the Old Testament, whenever the Israelites had to go to battle, they would pray and ask God, who has to go first? And God always replied, go up from Judah, meaning worship goes first. We are all called to worship. And some of us might be called to go first as an example to others. Worship in the immediate, heaven now, ushers in peace and calm, shifting our perspective to God's constant presence. The next is forgiveness. The kingdom value in forgiveness is that it's found at the core of the kingdom of God. Jesus' forgiveness of us makes way for us to forgive others, embodying grace and reconciliation. The kingdom investment with forgiveness might look like choosing to let go of grudges or resentment. It could be taking the first step, even without an apology, and praying for those who hurt us. The treasure in heaven now, this treasure of forgiveness, is for us to live with less stress and more emotional freedom while pointing others to the incredible love and wildly forgiving God. Next, we have service. The kingdom value in service is about centering ourselves on humility and selflessness. Jesus himself modeled this when he said that he came to serve and not be served. The kingdom of God values servanthood, where the greatest are those who serve others. The kingdom investment is to set aside yourself. Your time, your presence. It could be helping a neighbor with a project or driving their kids to school or to practice, helping out around church or around the city, picking up trash, cleaning toilets, doing the laundry. As mentioned in the announcements earlier, they said we have a new volunteer guide. Check that out. There might be something in there for you. Especially if you said, yeah, someone else should do it. This treasure of heaven now not only blesses others, but allows them to experience the love of God in tangible and practical ways now. A God who sees each of us while we partner with God's mission to bring full restoration to the world. All right, let me do one more. Generosity. The kingdom value of generosity reflects the heart of a selfless God, willing to give up anything for those he loves. The kingdom investment could be giving away your time, your talents. It could be giving money to organizations that support kingdom causes. I recently heard about this church that tithes their tithe and they give the money towards new church plants in their city. I thought that was so cool. The heavenly treasure now is when we give generously, we are getting to invest in eternal outcomes, kingdom causes, investing in people, connecting others to God and overpopulating heaven. And there are so many more: justice and mercy, discipleship, community, healing. So many ways we can engage in storing up treasures in heaven, because there is power in the kingdom investment. And one of the best parts, as Jesus points out in the Sermon on the Mount, as we store up these treasures in heaven, there comes with it a security that these investments are where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Kingdom treasures are secure. So something that's been on my heart for some time now is that many of us, myself included, have been maybe in this posture of hesitation to get involved, to make change, to engage in ministry efforts here, because we're kind of waiting to see what the future will bring. Who's going to be our next senior pastor? What will their vision for our community be? And it's okay to feel this way. It's okay to think this way. But let's remember, our investments in the kingdom of God can never be taken from us, and that the work of our investments will never be without lasting impact. It doesn't matter if this physical building is standing here. It isn't dependent on a leadership role being filled by a perfect person, because if our hearts are aligned with God, we know the value of true treasure in heaven. Then we can confidently store up those treasures today, right now. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Hebrews 10:6, "God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them." We don't have to wait for the perfect moment or the perfect person. We get to play in the kingdom now and see heaven on earth now. Kingdom investments aren't just abstract ideas. They happen in real, tangible ways every single day. Checking in on a friend who's struggling, mentoring someone new to following Jesus, creating a welcoming space for someone who feels like they don't belong. This happens when we show up, give generously, serve faithfully, and love deeply right now. And kingdom treasures are always secure. And if we listen to the Holy Spirit, He will guide us toward kingdom investments as we grow in our understanding of what true treasure in the kingdom of God is, as He helps free our hearts of earthly treasures that get in the way. Would you stand with me if you're able as we transition into ministry time? And ministry time is just a part of our service. We do this every single Sunday, where we just take time to engage with what the Holy Spirit might be stirring up in our hearts. And so I'm just going to open us in some prayer. Holy Spirit, would you come? And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would begin to speak to our hearts about the things that might be preventing us from the pursuit of heavenly treasure. And there's this story in the Bible where a rich man comes to Jesus and he says, I've followed all the rules. I've done everything that you've asked. Is there anything else I need to do in order to follow you? And Jesus replies and says, sell all that you have and then come follow me. And in the Bible, it says that the man left sad because he had a lot of wealth. And so I feel like there's some of us here this morning that we've maybe like tried this following Jesus thing out and it's actually left us feeling sad because maybe we didn't understand what it actually meant to give it all away. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come and meet those of us this morning that have left feeling sad, but maybe we're turning back towards you because we haven't found the thing that we're actually looking for. Earthly treasures have left us feeling empty. They have left this void. And so would you begin to draw us back to the heart of goodness, the kingdom heart of goodness, Lord? And then I feel like there's others of us this morning that need a fresh deposit of hope and joy. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, would you pour out the joy of our salvation? That circumstances don't take away the fact that you conquered the grave, Jesus. Would you breathe new life into us, Lord? I pray for fresh calling on lives this morning, Lord. I pray that those of us that feel that sense of hesitation, that like I feel unmotivated, I don't know how to get up and move, Lord, would you ground us? Would you center us on you? Would you remind us of who you are and the calling that places on our lives as your followers, Lord? Holy Spirit, come.